Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a million days and a million nights. Oh, I still remember how your love changed my life. There's not enough words in my vocabulary to express how I feel. And I still pinch myself just to see if it's clear that a man ain't supposed to cry. But I'll put my pride aside, let these tears fall from my eyes. I'm so happy you're still in my life.
God bless you. God bless you. Welcome. Welcome to another God's Word to Man live broadcast. I'd like to say that we have a great, great, great lesson for you this evening, this afternoon. Of course, we have back our dear brother, Brother Daniel Rogers, and he has a lesson for you guys today on the love of God, on the love of God. As I said, you're listening to a live broadcast. We ask that you go over to our social media page on Facebook and like God's Word to Man on Facebook if you're listening to this broadcast. We will also be on later this evening at 7 p.m. I'll come back, myself and a few of the other brothers will come back with a topic tonight, follow-up, actually, topic of tonight. Is God turning his back on America in light of all the mass shootings, in light of all the incidents that we have been having the last few weeks? The question we're asking is God turning his back on America? Is he allowing these mass shootings? That's what we're going to further discuss later on this evening at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. So hopefully some of you can come back and listen and look out for that broadcast. But right now, I'm going to invite my brother on because he has a lesson he wants to share with you that God has given him about the love of God. How many of us know that if it wasn't for God's love, we would not be here? So I'm going to go ahead and bring my brother Daniel on. Brother Daniel Rogers, God bless you, Brother Daniel Rogers. Are you there?
Just fine, Brother Manuel.
Excellent, excellent. Well, brother, you know how this works. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you, and you can begin your lesson or whatever God has given you and share it with the listeners. God bless you, brother. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, dear Brother Manuel. We're thankful for this opportunity. I just want to say a prayer to start with. I always feel necessary and inadequate. I know I can't do anything without the Lord. Jesus, help us now. Give us words to say. Give us ears to hear and hearts to believe and understand your precious word. We thank you for your holy word, the Bible, and all the scriptures. And we thank you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Well,
amen.
Dear neighbor, the love of God is such a great, large subject. We can't begin to cover it. If you get a chance or make a chance, would be worth your while to get a little booklet called The Greatest Thing in the World, and it's the love of God. And one of the greatest preachers that ever walked on planet Earth was John Wesley. And John Wesley's favorite subject, maybe, or the great subject he preached, was the love of God. He could hold men's hearts in the palm of his hands and sway them like melted butter. He was a master speaker, and he speaks yet in heaven. They have convocations, meetings. Jesus preaches, Martin Luther preaches, and John Wesley preaches, and John the Baptist and the great men of the Bible take turns. And but John Wesley preaches even in heaven the great love of God. Let me read some scriptures here. In St. John, the beloved, he's called, the loved one of Jesus. Can you imagine? Remember at the Last Supper, he was leaning on Jesus' chest and just kind of snuggling up to him because they laid down on their side to eat in those days. And we sat on chairs, but they didn't use chairs. And he was leaned back against Jesus, and he felt that close and comfortable with the Lord. And in the mornings, I just love to snuggle up with the Lord in my prayer time, and I just get blessed and thankful for the privilege of prayer, talking to Jesus. But let me read here in John Gospel, and the 15th chapter. When I was just a boy, my papa was a preacher for 70 years and a full gospel preacher, and he taught me to memorize the Bible. So I memorized chapters like John 15, but I'm just going to read here a few verses that Jesus gave us. In the 12th verse, he said, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Think about that. That's a greater commandment than to love your neighbor as yourself. It says to love one another. That's Christians, loving Christians, even as Jesus loved us. Think about that. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do," notice that word "do," "whatsoever I command you." And so we can't claim to love God and not do the things the Bible instructs us to. He says, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends." Think of that, to be a friend of God like Abraham. "For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." And so he wants us to walk in love. And if we get out of love or get angry or something, we have to repent. Because I'm going to read another scripture over here in 1 John, or maybe I just quoted 13 and 18. The Bible says what? God is love. Think about that. There's three is's in the Bible of what God is. His being is spirit. He inhabits the whole universe, believe it or not, but he does. And he does that by his spirit. And God is light, the Bible says. and there is in him is no darkness at all. And then his nature, light is revelation and truth, those type of things. And God is holy. That's the fourth thing he is. That's the essence of God. Out of his holiness spring all his other attributes, including God is love. 1 John 4:13-18, those words are recorded in the Holy Bible, that God is. An angel said, we know, said, man has to repent, but God doesn't have to forgive. He is forgiveness. He just automatically is forgiveness. Can you understand that, neighbor? Can you comprehend that? Oh, the love of God, the love of God. And then over here, let me read a short chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. It's a sandwich chapter. The meat is 13, 12 is one loaf, one piece of bread on the one side, and a slice of bread, and then the meat in the middle is the 13, and then the 14th chapter is the other slice of bread. It's a great spiritual sandwich, but the middle of it, the heart of it, is love. And these words we find in the Holy Bible. Follow after love and desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. No, I'm sorry, I've skipped over to 14th chapter, 13th chapter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You're making a lot of noise, but it doesn't go anywhere or have a resonance with God or people that are of God. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. You know something, neighbor? One time, a man of God was greatly gifted, he asked God, or God appeared to him, and Jesus appeared to him and said, do you want to know what it takes to get to heaven? Showed him a vision of heaven. And, oh, yes, Lord, he said, William Branham, as he's called, though, he said he sure would. He said it takes the love of God. And he said an angel appeared to David Terrell and asked him same question and gave him the same answer. It takes the love of God. We must have it, neighbor. I'm not just saying words. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you what the scriptures teach and say from one end to the other. He said, a new commandment I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And you know something? When you're born again, you get a new nature. What is that nature? Well, you still got your old nature, and it'll still pop up if you don't keep fasting and praying and walking really close. But you'll have a new nature, and that nature is what? It's God's nature. It's love, the love of God. Now, those three words for love in the Greek, in the Bible, and one of them is human love, and filial is another one, is means brotherly love, like Philadelphia, you've heard of in Pennsylvania. That means city of brotherly love. But the love of God is a altogether different word and meaning. It's supernatural. You don't have it in the natural, the love of God. It takes, but that's what it takes to make it into the pearly gates, as they say. It takes the love of God. And let me go ahead reading here. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. During the Vietnam War, if you all that are old enough to remember, it was in the news that a Buddhist monk doused himself and sat down in the middle of the street and lit himself on fire and burned himself to death in protest about the war. But did it profit him, give him a ticket to heaven? No, neighbor. You can give your body to be burned. It profits nothing. Love suffereth long, or has patience, and still is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It's not boastful and proud. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. It puts other people ahead of themselves. That's what husband and wives have to do. And put the other one first. That'll solve about 99% of all problems. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh not evil. It doesn't take into account evil. Another script, translation says, rejoiceth not in iniquity or unrighteousness, but rejoiceth with the truth. Heareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. Think about that. Wow, what a promise. Love never faileth. We know of a case. He was called the meanest man in Texas. He was a criminal that did all kind of bad things, and his wife wouldn't give up on him or divorce him. She just kept praying for him and his little girl, and they just kept praying for him for 25 years. But after 25 years of praying, guess what? He got converted. Isn't that wonderful, Brother Manuel?
Yes, it is.
Yes, he got saved because she had so much love. It just breaks my heart. And love never faileth. But then it goes on, prophecies. They shall be done away. Another translation says, whether there be tongues, they shall cease. In other words, we won't need the gift of tongues like in heaven. Whether it be knowledge, it shall vanish away, because we'll have the reality of it, not just know about it. We'll see it and be there in person. And God will, Jesus will. But when that which is perfect is come, that's perfect love, then that which is in part shall be done away. And when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, or when I got grown, I put away childish things. And
yeah.
For now, we see through a glass or a mirror darkly compared to then, is what he's saying. But then, face to face. Have you ever been to heaven, neighbor? Well, this little preacher has. Talk to Jesus. Ain't that a blessing? And he talked to little old Daniel. And I saw him face to face. And that will be everybody's privilege when we make it to heaven eventually. Now, everybody don't go immediately talk to Jesus, but eventually they do. And now abideth faith, hope, and love. Or King James says charity, but that's the Greek says love. And we use the word charity now to mean given to the poor. But if you mean it in a biblical sense, it's always talking about love, and it's in the Greek, love. And these three, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Oh, neighbor, think about it. Think about it. Would any of us be here, like Brother Emmanuel saying, if it wasn't for the love of God? No, we wouldn't. If you get that video, you would be blessed if you would, folks, of the Passion of Christ, because he demonstrated his love. He didn't have to be beat half to death, literally half to death. Ordinarily, it took about 3 days for a crucified person to die, but he died in 6 hours because they already beat him with a cat of nine tails. The man-made churches and tradition teach it was 39 stripes. No, it wasn't. That's the Jewish punishment in the Bible, was 40 stripes, and they'd do 39 to make sure they didn't go over, which was good, of course, but they weren't beating him. The Romans were, with a cat of nine tails, a little piece of metal or a little piece of bone in the end of nine strands of leather, and it would rip the body to shreds, and he was beat from top to bottom and crushed a crown of thorns down in his scalp, and the blood ran down, and they tore. Bible says that they tore his beard off, and that's in Isaiah, the 50th chapter. And his visage was marred more than any man would normally be. And the Bible says that. And he suffered being spit on, and they buffered him, which means they hit him with their fist or slapped him with their hand just hard and buffered him. And he did all that and was mocked. And he was so weak and lost so much blood he couldn't even finish carrying the cross. And a black man from Ethiopia had to finish carrying it. And they dropped it down in a hole in the rock that they dug to drop the crosses in when they crucified people. And it's been found. That very, you can see a video of it. I just watched it. I think it was yesterday or today of that very place. And the blood was still there, and it dropped down. There was a crack in the rock, and it dropped down onto the mercy seat, like in the Bible they were commanded to put the blood on the mercy seat onto the Ark of the Covenant, which mercy seat was built on top like a lid to the Ark of the Covenant, which that man found and took picture of it, and the candelabra, the seven-branch candlestick, and the table of showbread, all of solid gold. And four angels were there, and he told them to take a picture of it, but that it would not come forth. It's hidden down subterranean tunnels, caves underneath the mount where Christ was crucified in Jerusalem. And the angel told him it wouldn't come forth till after the Antichrist, the man of sin, brings forth his laws and commands people to keep his laws that are opposition to the Ten Commandments. And the angels had him take the Ten Commandments out, take picture of them that God finger wrote. They're right there in it, but it wouldn't come forth because it's really hard to find. He spent a lifetime or years, I don't remember, but a long, long time, archaeologist digging around in that area, but the Lord directed him to it. The Spirit just come on him, and his hand shot out, and his finger pointed at the place where he should start digging, and told him, the Spirit spoke to him, he said, there is where the Ark of the Covenant is. And so he started excavating, digging back in there, and a lot of the caves are filled up with rocks so that you couldn't get to it. It was well hidden. And then he kept directing him, and he got to a place that was plastered up, closed over, but it was with plaster, so he dug it out and dug into the room where those three articles and another item, maybe incense or something, burner, were all stored when the Babylonians came to destroy Jerusalem and the temple. So it's still there, and you can see it, neighbor. You can look it up for yourself if you want. But it's a symbol. And on top of it, the blood ran down that crack from where Jesus' cross and dripped right onto the mercy seat. Don't you just love that? How that God can do things and fulfill his word. And because in the word, the high priest would put the blood on the mercy seat to make atonement, and which is, you know, a propitiation for our sins. I just read it here a minute ago. That's just a big theological word, just means substitute. The Lord took our place. He made a propitiation. He paid the price as a substitute. It's paying the price as a substitute, propitiation means. But you don't have to understand a lot of theology to be saved. But you do have to have one thing. That's me, that's you, that's everybody that makes it. And that is what? The love of God. Oh, neighbor, neighbor, neighbor. And he said, to love one another as I have loved you. This is my commandment. You might not have faith. We fasted many years. I don't know how many, didn't keep track. 30 to 40 days on water every year, once a year, so I could have faith, so I could have revelation, so I could help people with miracles and healing. And Lord has used me, get people healed out of wheelchairs, and the blind to see, and cast out devils when on occasions, different times and places here in the States and in Central America doing missionary work. And we wanted to have the love of God to do it, because the Bible says the faith that worketh or is motivated by love, because you can do all these other things I just read to you here in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. You can have faith, move mountains, and have prophecies and all knowledge, and it don't amount to a hill of beans unless, ain't that right?
That's right.
Unless it's motivated by the love of God. And so I always prayed, oh, Jesus, help Daniel to be motivated by the love of God. Oh, that's what I want, is the love of God. And when people slap you on one side of the face, you turn the other cheek, so to speak, because you do like the Lord. He let them take him to the Golgotha, and I guess it's in the Hebrew or Greek, it means the place of the skull, because if you look at it, it looks like a skull where Jesus was crucified. And we have to have that love, and that's what will make it in. Oh, neighbor, I want more of that love, don't you? Like I said, if husband and wife can learn to say, please forgive me, and love one another, that'll solve about 99% of all the husband-wife problems is what? Love. You see, God didn't have to make butterflies beautiful. He didn't even have to make butterflies. The bees and other insects, they pollinate the plants. But of course, butterflies do too. But they're beautiful, aren't they? Don't you love the little butterflies? They don't hurt nobody. They don't bite nobody. They don't sting nobody. They're just plain beautiful. And the little birdies, oh, Brother Manuel and listeners, I love the little birdies. God even speaks to me with the little birdies sometimes. And
amen.
I don't know. I've told Brother Gustavo, my adopted family friend down in Honduras, but I don't think I've said it on the podcast, but I live in an old mobile home here. It's 80-footer. And clear back at the other end was a little titmouse, or titmouse, or I guess the right pronunciation. And they're a cute little gray bird with a little top knot. And they're just a little, pretty little songbird. And there he was. Well, how'd he get in the house? I don't know. Windows wasn't open. Doors wasn't open. But there he was. And so he was flying around trying to get out at the windows, you know, and he'd fly up to the windows and couldn't get out. So I said, now, little birdie, I said, I'm not going to hurt you. You hop on my finger and I'll carry you out. And you know what that little birdie did? I'm telling you the truth before God. That little birdie hopped up on my finger and grabbed a hold of it. And I said, I just talked to him. And I said, now you stay right there. I'm going to carry the other in the house. And I walked clear through the house, and he stayed right there on my finger. And I opened the door, and then I opened the screen door, and I said, now you can fly away. And he hopped off of my finger and hopped over onto the railing there on the deck and looked back at me as to say, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
What a blessing.
Oh, and he flew away. And believe it or not, that happened twice. How did he get in the house? I don't know. Why did it happen? I don't know. Except maybe just to encourage little old Daniel or something. God knows I love the little birdies. I watch them every day. I feed them, you know, black sunflower seeds and a mixed little millet and so on, and corn, you know, it's all mixed up. I feed them both kinds, and I just love to see them. I take my binoculars so I can see them closer, although they're only about 10 feet from the door, and a little further, about twice that maybe from where I watch them through the window. But I just love the little songbirds. He didn't have to make them so pretty. Have you ever seen a little indigo bunting, Brother Emmanuel or listeners? Indigo
no,
bunting. Have you ever seen one?
No, sir. I haven't seen one before.
Well, they're kind of iridescent, you know. They're kind of a bluish, almost purple, dark blue, special. I don't know how to call it. It's not exactly blue. It's not purple. It's just indigo. That's why they call them that. It's a shade of blue, I guess. And they're beautiful little birdies. And then I got cardinals, mama cardinals, I call them papa cardinals, that are bright red. They're so pretty. And little black-capped chickadees and goldfinches, you know, and creepers that go upside down on the trees, you know, looking for a bite to eat, a bug or something. I got several kinds, and I just love them, and God knows I do. But he didn't have to make them so pretty. He didn't have to make a sunset so beautiful or a sunrise so beautiful with the multicolored. And, you know, this earth, there's so many beautiful places. I see them on the computer. And when it comes on, it shows the beautiful places all over the earth and the beautiful lake, rivers, and all. And he didn't have to make heaven so gorgeous beyond measure. He didn't have to do that. Why'd he do that? God is love. That's why he did it, neighbor. He just loves you. He just loves to make us happy. He said in John 15 that I read part of, a few verses, that these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. He made marriage for joy, not to fight and have, animosity, but for companionship, physical and spiritual and mental and every which way, to be a comfort to one another, and snuggle up to one another, and just be kind to one another, encourage one another. One of the main things, listen to this now, neighbor, I'm going to tell you something that will be a blessing. One of the main things that a Christian's job is what? To be an encourager. Yes, yes, yes. Encourage your neighbor. Encourage the people that are having troubles. Me and Elizabeth, we'd be driving cross country, and we'd see, a funeral interment at the cemetery in progress. You know, they got the green little tent-like deal, and you could tell they're having a funeral. And we'd stop by and stop in, and I'd ask the man in charge if we could sing, and they always would say yes. And so me and Honey Bunch would sing "The Love of God." I'm going to sing it right now for y'all. Listen, it's one of my two favorite songs. One is Amazing Grace, my favorite, and second most right along with it is "The Love of God." The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Neighbor, I want you to listen to this verse. It was written on a wall of a mental hospital in St. Asylum, they called them back in those days. And maybe he was put there unjustly, somebody trying to keep the relatives from getting an inheritance, who knows how or why. But listen now. Could we with ink, ocean fill, and were the sky of parchment made, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, and nor could the scroll contain the whole, the or stretch from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, now rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Well, my voice ain't the greatest, but it comes from my heart. I love to hear David Terrell sing. He may not be the greatest singer either in the world, but I just love to hear him sing because I know he sings from his heart. And Jesus,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. And brother, sister, brother Manuel, Jesus loves you. He don't want you to be sick. He don't want you to be lost. He don't want you to go to hell. He really and truly loves you more than you can understand, more than we can fathom, because that's his nature. He can't help himself. God is. It's the very essence of his nature, love. Just think about that. Unselfish love. That's the only kind there really is unselfish love. And that's what makes a difference between Brother David Terrell's gospel and the charismatic gospel. The main difference is a selfishness. They preach a selfishness gospel. And you're supposed to just get rich and be wonderful and all. They decorate their churches in luxury beyond measure, millions with velvet and gold trim and all this stuff, and it'll all be burned up. But love endureth forever. Love never fails. Just keep on loving, neighbor. Don't ever give up loving. Oh, seek for love and be motivated by love, because that will put God on your side. That'll put you on God's side, as Abraham Lincoln. They said, is God on the side of the North? They asked Abraham Lincoln. He said, oh, I'm not concerned whether God's on the side of the North. He said, I'm just concerned that I'm on God's side. Oh, what a great man, the great emancipator, they called him, because he was, and he was a born-again Christian. And I'm thankful for that. And God is love. There's no prejudice in heaven. There's no prejudice against anybody. And anybody that's got prejudice ain't going there. I'll tell you that right now. Prejudice is just another form of hate. And the Bible says he that hateth has not hated his brother has not God. And we got to love one another, neighbor, not pay attention. I had the blessing and by God's grace and mercy on little old Daniel to not have prejudice. I was never taught it. My folks loved everybody, treated everybody of ever color and class alike. It didn't matter to them, you know, if they were rich or poor or what race or creed or color they were. And so I just brought up in that atmosphere. But when you get the love of God, you'll love everybody. I'm telling you, you will.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Ain't that right, Brother Emmanuel?
That's right, brother. You're right.
And because you get God, you get love. If you don't have love, you don't have God. And if you have God, you have love. You can't separate them. Because like the Bible says in 1 John 4:13, God is love. And 18 says the same thing. God is love. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. And the little birdies, I love the little birdies. Those songbirds are gentle little creatures. They don't hurt nobody. They don't hurt anything. And they just eat seeds and insects. And because they remind me of that God is love. Same way with butterflies. I love to see the butterflies. They're beautiful, aren't they? And the hummingbirds are an amazing little creature. Can fly backwards and up and down. They're like a helicopter, you know, and their little wings, I think they beat 500 times a minute, and they're an amazing little creature, and beautiful too, for that matter. Ruby-throated hummingbirds, and all of them, they're iridescent green, you know, and different colors, and there's, I don't know how many varieties, I've read it, but I forget, but they're all over North America, Central America, South America, and they fly thousands of miles in migration, and all kinds of birds there are, and all shapes and sizes of birds on the planet. It's amazing. God created such a diversity for our enjoyment here on earth, and even more glorious in heaven. And neighbor, I want you to go there. God's love wants you to go to heaven. Jesus died on the cross because he loves you and wants you to be with him in heaven forever and ever and ever. Oh, neighbor, don't go to hell. It's horrible, horrible, horrible beyond measure. It smells horrible because it's a place of death and decay and rotten flesh. And just imagine how awful it smells, and how the fire, Jesus said, is not quenched, and the worm doesn't die. He wasn't just saying words, and they try to minimize it or do away, but he preached 10 times about hell, and there are actual worms. There's actual fire in hell that actually burns. It's beyond measure horrible. You say, you're trying to scare me? Yes, I hope so. I hope you will be afraid to go there and do right and repent of your sins and ask Jesus to forgive you so you can go to heaven, because you're going to go to one place or another. I've seen a one of those changeable letter signs outside of a church one time said, had a humorous aspect. God doesn't believe in atheists, therefore atheists do not exist, you know, because they teach atheism and anti-Bible and evolution, which is anti-Bible and anti-God, in all public schools by law. That's how low we've fallen, and horrible to send children, innocent little children, to be taught such things in public schools and public colleges. But there are Christian schools and Christian colleges. You say, well, I can't afford to send my kids to Christian public schools or public, I don't know, I shouldn't use the word public, I guess. I can't afford to send my kids to Christian schools, so I have to send them to public schools. Well, neighbor, it doesn't cost anything to teach them at home, just effort.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. And the homeschool children always do better in their tests, you know, than the public school children, and they're not bullied, and they're not taught false doctrines, and that sex education with anti-moral, no morals to it. You know, they teach in all the public schools sex education. They say homosexuality is just an alternate lifestyle. That's the words they use. And it's a sin before the Lord. It has to be repented of, and then they can go to heaven. But they teach all kind of socialism and horrible things in public schools, public colleges, but there are Christian colleges that cost less than the secular ones. But education's okay. The scripture says education is good if they forget not God, but we must have love. Ain't that right, Brother Emmanuel?
That's right,
we
brother.
We must have love.
And we actually have a caller for you.
By contact with the Holy Ghost and by being born again and being filled with the Spirit. Oh, my neighbor. I was born again when I was 9, and I was sanctified by a touch of the Holy Ghost that changed my heart and life when I was 15. and I had animosity in my heart due to circumstances, and I didn't even feel guilty about it. I felt justified because the person was mean to me. And but the Lord knew it was wrong to have hate, like, you know, animosity towards anybody. So he put me under conviction. I didn't know it about even that. I didn't even know what conviction was. But the Lord did, and I was crying and praying for 2 hours one night from about midnight to 2 o'clock in the morning, sleeping there with Papa, my dear natural father. And all at once, it was like warm oil, Brother Emmanuel, and it poured on top of my head and on down to reach my heart. And when it did, I was filled with love, and I quit crying, and I said, "Oh, Papa, I just love everybody. What happened to me? Oh, Papa, I love," and I named the person, and could I get them up? They lived with us, kind of as a nanny, a caretaker, and he said, "Well, 2 o'clock in the morning, kind of bad time to be getting people up, but this is an exceptional situation, so yeah, okay, you can." And because I always obeyed my parents, I never disobeyed them one time in my life. And I did, and I loved that person for 10 more years till they passed away. And I was touched and sanctified and cleansed of that hate, but then my natural nature of feelings of unworthiness took over, and I was kind of scared of everybody and everything. I was filled with fear, and I was trying to lead the little young people's group in a Full Gospel, that was the name of a church in Bella Vista, Northern California, about 10 miles north of San Francisco, close to Redding, I was seeking for the baptism, the Holy Spirit infilling, like they got it in the Bible. And I would go every night for 9 months, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Every time they had church, I'd be there and go to the altar and seek for that baptism. They all had it, and I wondered what was the matter with me. And they were such sweet, lovely, humble people, and they're loving people, but they didn't know how to tell me. They didn't know why I couldn't get it, and I didn't know why I couldn't get it, but I determined. And so I made up my mind, and I said, "They're going to carry a skeleton away, but I'm never going to leave that altar till I get that Holy Ghost." Oh, I wanted the baptism so bad, and I needed it so bad. And you know what? I got it, and I was laying on my back, and I had gum in my mouth, and I took it out and gave it a toss, and I didn't care about nothing or nobody, and my hindrance was getting my mind off of myself onto the Lord and just worshiping the Lord. That's the secret to getting the baptism, one of them, and another's get hands laid on, but there, you know, I didn't know anybody had that gift. And so I received the Holy Ghost, and oh, I was so happy and so full of the love of God, and crying and laughing at the same time. I hugged everybody in the church. I didn't care if they were young or children or old people or who they were. I hugged them. I still am a hugger, Brother Emmanuel. I have to be kind of careful, because now people that take you wrong, you know, and we live in such a world, but I still am a hugger. I just am thankful for the love of God that He should have brought in my heart. At that day, I was 19 years old, and I started preaching the very next Sunday night. And our young people's service just had a handful, but they didn't have nobody else for a leader. And I wanted to work for the Lord. So I was trying to do my little part, and we had from 7 to 7:30 for the young people's meeting. And when 7:30 came, I had been talking about, guess what, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I didn't know anything else much about the Bible, but I knew about that because I just got it. And
amen.
I turned to go sit. Amen. I turned to go sit down, and Daddy Myers was a pastor, and he said, no, stay, keep preaching. So I did for another hour.
Amen.
Telling everybody was laughing and praising the Lord. They were so happy for me. They could see such a big change. One day, I'm scared to death. I could have talked 5 minutes. My knees would be knocking together, so to speak. Not literally, but I'd just be in this cold sweat, just terrified being up there before the people trying to talk for 5 minutes, and now I preach for an hour and a half on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We were all happy that day, don't you believe it?
Amen.
The love of God is so wonderful in this world and that which is to come. Your priorities are honored in heaven. You know, if you like gray color, well, you can have a gray mansion of gray marble or something, you know. Everything that your priorities, your wishes are granted. And it's nothing but pure love and pure joy. Everybody in heaven is kind to one another, Brother Emmanuel. There's no hate, there's no animosity, there's no prejudice, no selfishness. It's just love, isn't it?
Amen.
Something wonderful
Amen.
To look forward to.
Yes, it is.
The love
Brother
of God.
Daniel.
And Brother Daniel. I want you to go there, meet me there. Yes, Brother Emmanuel.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we do have a caller, and I just wanted to bring the caller on. They've been waiting for a little while.
Yes, please do.
Before we get ready to get off. God bless you, caller. You're on God's Word to Man. Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking to Sister Gillespie.
God bless you, Sister Gillespie. How are you? Do you have a question or a comment for Brother Daniel?
I just wanted to tell him I enjoy him, and I thank the Lord God that he's on the broadcast, because he is opening up people's eyes unto the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And the subject tonight is God's love. Like he say, if you don't have that, you ain't going nowhere, you know. So therefore, everybody ought to open up their ears and get into the Word, where all of that is explained, that you got to have love. Without love, you're not going no place. That's
thank
all.
You, sister, for your encouraging words. Thank you so much. Pray for me.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Gillespie. I appreciate it.
Yes.
Isn't that nice of her to call in and encourage you, Brother Daniel? I tell you, I really enjoyed you tonight and all the times you come on. And can you give the people an expectation of what they can expect maybe next Monday when you come on?
One of my favorite subjects is prophecy, but I feel like that we'll talk more about the gospel, what the true gospel is, and how to make
Amen.
It to heaven.
Amen. Amen. Well, we got like a minute or so, and so I just wanted to give you the opportunity to give a final comment, and we're going to go ahead and end the broadcast, Brother Daniel. Go ahead.
Well, sure. We just pray for me, and I'm thankful for you, Brother Emmanuel, and the work you're doing for the Lord, and thankful for the church and the Elijah message. I'm thankful for all of that, and we may get into some of that too next time about the coming of Elijah.
Amen, amen. Well, folks, there you have it for Brother Daniel and myself. We want to say we thank God for you and thank you for listening to this afternoon spiritual lesson from Brother Daniel about God's love. Be sure to tune in at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time today, and we'll come back with the other brothers, and we'll have a discussion, an open-line discussion about the mass shootings and the violence and chaos that's happening in this country, and if God has turned his back or is he allowing this for judgment against this world. Again, I'm your brother, Brother Manny, and for Brother Daniel Rogers, we will see you next Monday when we come back with Brother Daniel, okay? May God bless you, may God keep you, and may God go with you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Brother Daniel. Love you.
Strong.